I think we're going to get a little confident in that. Late at night. We'll try to keep it. We'll make it a little bit public. Okay, this is like ready for shiur for the whole night. One year I was sitting on Shabbos night, I used to drink a lot. I drink a less water, but I used to drink a lot more. So when I was out there, bought me like a 400 thing of water for the whole night. Okay. So I thought we talk about a topic which is both critical in terms of lomdos and in terms of halacha l'maaseh as well, and it even touches a little bit both in pashas lech and in pashas vayera. But the topic really of gamers, it's related to the topic of gamers. Gamers played a major role in the life of Avinu, b'senefesh and osa b'charon. Avinu is the Avam Ungoyim, the old gamers in sense of the gamers of Avam and Avam Avinu. And in Pasha, the other Pasha that Rechazim introduced the mitzvah for Smila, which of course also plays a major role, not just in terms of a mitzvah, but in terms of part of the mechanism of Geirut, and then it repeats again in Pasha's Bayera. So I think we've covered pretty much in terms of justifying why we're going to try to talk a little bit about this time. So we're going to discuss the issue of Geirut, the issue of Mila, but particularly how Mila relates in terms of Tevila as well. The Gemara in the fourth Bechel of the second Zivamus tells us that when a person comes to convert, when a male comes to convert, then they have to undergo two processes. They have to have a mila and they have to have a tzvila. And everybody agrees to that. That was never a question. And of course, a person has to undergo both of these mitzvot. You have to do a mila, you have to do a tzvila. How did Chazal know this? So the Gemara that is Krisus, that Testament Al, tells us that all the details of the Chazayrus are ultimately derived from Matan Torah, or the event immediately preceding Matan Torah. Just as Klal Yisrael, like Nichlas Labris, through process X, Y, and Z. So too, the Deiradiris, whenever a person is entered into Klal Yisrael, they have to be Nichlas Labris in the same manner. So Chazal then go on to show you, how do you know that Klal Yisrael was Nichlas Labris for Mila and Tevila? So the Mila that was done was the Mila in Mitzrayim, right at the time before the first Tumen Pesach. Since the Torah tells us, Kol Or LeYochel, but obviously everybody had to have a Bris Mila. So that was a Mila L'Shem Geirus as well. It wasn't just a Mila Mitzvah. It wasn't just a Mila just for the name of the Tumen Pesach. But it was Chal on the din of Mila Geirus as well. So even though that wasn't the middle of Mount Zerah, but it was the 7 weeks before Mount Zerah. And then Tevila also took place in the context of Mount Zerah. And that's even a little tougher. How do we see in the Psukim, the Kaiser went to the Mikvah? So one possibility would be the Chitzus and Moseichem. The Torah says that they had to even tuggle their clothing. The Kabachon had to tuggle themselves. The Gemara is not convinced that that's a Shibbet Raya. Maybe it just means they had to send their suits to the dry clean. It doesn't necessarily mean they had to be tuggled in the Mikvah. So the Gemara has another Mokhar. It has a different drush, a little bit different, a little more complicated Mokhar. But when all the dust settles, everybody agrees that the males, at least the men, underwent both to be led to Tevila. Nevertheless, the Gemara has a Mokhar that's annoying in the fourth paragraph of the Amos. Notwithstanding the fact that everybody agrees that you have to have Tevila and Tevila, are they both the Aki to be Evan? Just because you're supposed to do something doesn't mean that's necessarily an Aki to be Evan. Like Moshe was ever done that. Everybody agrees that we have a chalitza, so there are a lot of things that have to be done. You have to do chalitza minna, sadly, you take off the shoe, you have to do rakiti, you have to spit, you have to create a sukkim. There are a whole series of things that the Torah specifies that have to be done, but not all of that parish is not to be the evidence. The chalitza is not to know which part is, which part is not. You can have this concept that, in terms of performing the mitzvah properly, there's a certain say that's var, and you have to do everything, but in terms of the chalitza, in terms of the woman becoming teret, for sure. Or in this case, as a person, Nicholas, the Tushi Yisrael, it's not so partial that all the different components have to be done. Some are ma'akid, and some are not ma'akid, and which one's which, they have to know the whole that we've learned to figure that out. We also said, I mean, if you learn the Tushi, you want, that's fine with me, but the bottom line is it doesn't make much of a difference, because the Gemara goes one time that says that it's back to both ma'akid. And that's what we passed about. Welcome to Yechanan, Eino Gera Chimo Vietto. So we passed to that Min HaTorah, the male is not converting, does not have Tushi Yisrael, unless he undergoes both the process of Mila and the process of Tevila. A woman obviously is not going to have Mila, so for her Tevila is sufficient. The Gemara then talks about some other things in terms of Hakrabas HaKabonis, and the Sugi about Kabbalah's mistress, we're not going to talk about that right now. We're going to focus right now just on the Mila's Tevila, which is clearly Ma'akim of Yet, and I've seen the Bugal, but that's the far Pesach Halacha, the Lishim Chaylik. Eno Gera Shimon Yitmo. So there is a major question in the Rishonim about what exactly that means, Eno Gera Shimon Yitmo. Namely, must it be done precisely in that order? The Gemara always uses the phrase Yimo Yitzvo. The Gemara describes the normal tahlich. It almost says that Zvarim is the Mila precedes the Tevila. The question is that true? Is that really necessary? Is that just coincidentally? That's the way Chazal is describing it. But there's no reason to believe that you have to do it particularly in that order. Or is there some reason that the order is lacking?
And Aleph says that the reason is, the order is ma'akev, you better come up with a very creative reason as to why that should be so. I mean, if you want to just hide behind the fact that Mila of Klal Yisrael preceded the Tefillah, maybe you could do that, but you might have to come up with something a little bit better than that. So again, so we know you need Mila of Tefillah, even the Di'evet, not just for the Mitzvah, but for the Chalot Geilus as well. And when that, we know Chazal describe it as usually Mila before Tefillah, but we're not quite sure whether the order is Ma'akev, and if it's Ma'akev, we don't really know why it should be Ma'akev. So there is a mitzvah in Maseches Yevamos, in that sugi, in the fourth breath of Maseches Yevamos, where the mitzvah gives us a fascinating insight as to why perhaps the order should be ma'akev. The mitzvah says that if a person goes to the mikvah for tefillah geirus and he's still an orel, so that tefillah is not going to be effective, because that's going to be a deficiency of ki'ilu the type of a sheretz biyagur. So the mitzvah, there is a din that if a person is going to the mikvah and he's holding on to a dead mouse as he's going to the mikvah. So he's going to the mikvah, but he's becoming tummy. He's in the water, tummy, water, tummy, water. At the end of the day, he's tummy. So we're going to sit and he's in my position to be tummy. So Tov Yishas Biyado is not going to be effective. That's ma'akev in the tefillah. In all my years, I only received one time an actual shayla, not like a hashkof of shayla, but Tov Yishas Biyado, a cubit around, talking about machshava. I was talking about lemaisa, bottom line, Tov Yishas Biyado. It was from a woman who was frantic. She had just come to the mikvah, and there was a frog in the mikvah. So she wasn't able to formulate, I couldn't actually hear what she was formulating under the screen, but she was trying to formulate for me whether that disqualified the mikvah. So I told her that for multiple reasons it didn't disqualify the mikvah. First of all, a frog happens not to be a sheriff. I don't know. It's not a sheriff. That's reason number one. Reason number two is that it happens to be alive. So when it's alive, I mean, I'm more nervous, but when it's alive, so it's not, it does not, even if it would be a mouse, a lizard, it still wouldn't be without you. And number three, mikvah water is one of the very few things in the world that actually is not subject to tumah. That a mikvah cannot become tumah. So even if you have a sheriff in the mikvah, a dead sheriff, a dead mouse, again, not advocated, but it would be floating in the mikvah, it wouldn't affect the mikvah to use that. If you're holding on to it as you're talking about, then we can begin to pilfer. She was clearly not doing that. Okay, anyway, you're not doing that. So the bottom line is that there is a din of Tov Yishas Biyado, because if it's what takes an idea and jumps with it and carries it about a million miles, which says, so too, when a person is toivel in the mikvah, the Shein Geirus, but he still is an orel, that's like a toivel b'sheretz b'yadu. That's a very, very interesting application of toivel b'sheretz b'yadu. I mean, orlus, sometimes we refer to as a shtickle tumah, through the sugi later on, Yevamos, that talks about some of the similarities between an orel and a tumah, vis-a-vis kutshim, and from the fenstach, and the asiktosh, things of that nature, but it's a very, very esoteric kind of a tumah. It's not a kind of a tumah, you know, rishon tumah, shemun tumah, avyavos tumah. It's a different kind of a tumah. It's not the real mekoyim also tumah. And the tumah's arlos doesn't go away with tefillah b'mikvah. The whole model is a very strange model. So apply that principle to the other. The Ritzvah understood that somehow that's a problem. And it's a problem even on the level of the Araisa. It's a real serious problem. Even in the Torah says the Ritzvah that the tefillah preceding the milah cannot possibly take effect, because the tefillah has a bechid in the Tev Hashem Shviyadu. That idea of borrowing the original model of Tev Hashem Shviyadu, which is clearly a didn't look at Tumah Matara, and plugging it into quasi kinds of tumas, does appear in other Rishonim as well. This is what Lekas Rishon, the very end of Ayin Hei and the Tekhet of Edizara, about the mitzvah of Hagolas Kerem, the mitzvah of Hagolas Kerem and Tefillah Kerem. The last edition of Edizara says, when you buy a trace of kli from a guy, so you have to do two things. You have to kasher it first, and you have to be toivel it. So you have to kasher it on the Sukkot and Chumash. If you believe in Hagolah, whatever the details of how to kasher kelim are. And then the Mishnah says, and by the way, when you're all done kasher, then you toivel it as well. And that's the mitzvah of Tefillah Kelim. The Gemara derives it from Sukkim. There is a shayla in the Rishonim, whether that's a real din derayta, a din derabanan. But they, for our purposes, we're going to assume it's derayta. Shulchan Aruch passes that Tefillah Kelim is derayta, the tefillah of metal kelim. So let's work with that assumption for a second. So when the Mishnah describes the process of buying kelim from non-Jews, it describes you first doing the kashering, and then afterwards doing the toivling. Is there reason to believe that it has to be in that order? So here, some of the Rishonim say yes, the Rashbam is quoted by the Rishonim saying that you have to do a dafk in that order. You have to first kasher the kli, and then you have to toivle the kli. Why? Because if you're going to toivle the kli while it's still tereit, that's like a bechina of a toivle of the sheretz the other. It has a tachlis, it has a chazer inside the walls of the pot that you're going to put into the mikvah. How can the tefillah be mikvah bichal when the kli is tamei? Now again, that's a very startling application of tamei. It's not really tamei, it's unusable, it's straight.
But it's not Tomei. I mean, imagine if we were Shia and Yeshiva, we're screaming, Tomei, 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 and the mic, you know what I mean? That's not going to be Tuma.
Also, yeah, but not Tuma. So it's also an interesting Reshbam. It's a very Mechudishtika Reshbam, but to aim that cheapness of Reshbam, that we're taking that idea of Tevim Sheres B'yadai in a very, very, very expanded version of it, that anything that's quasi, Ister, Tomei, Ormuz, Traceless, Reveilus, whatever you want to call it, that can prevent the tvila from being now, even though again we're not talking in the regular taisha of Tumah V'Tahara.
So again, it's a big chiddush of Rashbam. In fact, many Rishonim in the end of Avodah Zarah disagree with Rashbam, the same way that many Rishonim disagree with the Ritva and the Sechus Yevamos. So can we come up with an alternate shot? Can we come up with a different approach? What is it about the order that's absolutely critical, if anything? So the Rashba and the Sechus Yevamos take the opposite approach of the Ritva. The Rashba says that the order is critical, but for an entirely different reason. The Rashba says that the real megaya of a person is ultimately the tefillah of the mikvah. That's what ultimately takes you from being non-Jewish to becoming Jewish. And that has to be the makom hakadosh. That's got to be, you have to walk out of that mikvah Jewish. If you walk out of that mikvah and you still got things to take care of, so that's the chisar of the tefillah. Not because the tefillah wasn't working because the tumas ha'orlus prevented it from working. No, the chlal not. It's not an ikuv because of the orlus. The ikuv is because the tefillah itself. The tefillah is not doing the job. The tefillah is not the government has over. The tefillah has to be the gemar hageirus. And if it's not the gemar hageirus, then it's command olay sedami. So since the din is eno gerah, you will be useful, you mainly have to have the tefillah has to be second. So again, another interesting reason. But other Mishnah would respond like where does it say that the tefillah is the gemar hageirus? Maybe the meal is the gemar hageirus. Maybe they're both the gerus together. How do you know ultimately which is the Gemara Geras and which is almost like the prerequisite? So we're almost all settled. We're not quite sure. We have different approaches in the Rishonim to explain why the order should be so critical. But the Ritva is a very, very chiddush. The Rashi, we're not quite sure we understand how we got it from. So we're definitely open to hear from Rishonim. We're going to say that the order is not so critical. That's not Ma'asim. That we disagree with both the Ritva's approach and the Rashi's approach. Who is the Rosh HaRishonim, the leader of the Rishonim, who holds that neither approach is correct? Who really held the mice up that the order can in fact be reversed, so that was the Ramban. So the Ramban in the Sechus Yevamos, since the Rebbe of all these Rishonim, so he comes to the Ramban and says the whole thing is the whole family of them. You can turn the order around and say, hey, you want to have a little foot, a little foot, whatever works easier for you for the days and busy that day, whatever's going to go quicker, it's basically fine. There really is no reason compelling in halacha to do one before the other. That's the sheet that's the Ramban. So lest you think that this is just some shiloh up in the air, that would have happened, not where the other mice are, there's nothing of this that really we have care about, it's all going to go normal, we're all going to be beautiful tefillah, no matter what. So I'll share with you a shiloh, halacha l'maisa, that I received it probably around when I was about the same age as most of you here. I was in the Y-based medicine at the time, and anyone under the age of 20 may know what I'm talking about, but there used to be payphones. You guys remember those? Those are things that they're destroying. For sure, I'm going to go. I see one in, and there's a person in this room, but so I've never heard of it. You heard of the Nasi Mons? Must be before you were born, Nasi Mons. A necklace, of course, they're a necklace of the Nasi Mons. Okay, good. So there used to be this thing that you stuck actually into their phones in America, you know? And in America, it was called, in the oldest time, blue boy, it was dime, and never again, the inflation of the quarter. So in order to make a phone call, you had to get a quarter in it. So you also could receive phone calls on this payphone. So I was once walking past the payphone and by the way, it just doesn't exist anymore. There's another layout of the building. You know where those are in the MTA, so where all those trophies are? Right? When you walk up the steps going up to the MTA, all the big sports trophies. So those used to be the two payphones. Anyway, so I don't know where they put the trophies because they never won anything in the old days. So I was walking past the payphone, my own position, on the ripe old age of about 20, and the phone rings, I picked it up, and it was somebody from Peru who was calling. It was a fellow who had learned to apply his tradition, whatever. He had gone to Peru. Why did he go to Peru? Because there was a big crisis in Peru. There were probably a whole group of people in Peru who thought they were Jewish and they were about to move to Eretz Yisrael. And then there was a little bit of a pitfall and they were trying to figure out. Rabbi Yehuda was trying to be a buyer. But yes, he was not Jewish. And they decided rather than having this balagan arrive in Eretz Yisrael and deal with Eretz Yisrael, let's deal with it in Peru. We'll deal with it before anyone actually enters into the country. So they sent the group of Rabbanim out to Peru to go figure out what in the world's going on. And if necessary, to be Megayer, I think it was 89 people or something at the time. So they called this fellow, called the wife, and said, we have a big problem here in Peru. This is how Shabbos used to be answered in the old days, okay? We have a big problem in Peru. What's the problem? Probably there was a cholera epidemic or something. I thought the guy should get out of there, so
problem. But anyway, these things like from the Middle Ages. There was like a cholera epidemic, and it was apparently too risky to have a bris first and then go into the mikvah. They were afraid of open wounds. I decided exactly what we had. The medical part I don't really remember. I was a little shaken up by the Shaila. The Rabbanim in Peru wanted to know, the delegation of Rabbanim wanted to know, can we have them go to the mikvah first and then we'll do the bris? Yeah, we don't get out of here as fast as possible. So that was the Shaila. It was somehow medicine sounds or to flip the order around. So at the ripe old age of 20, I thought that it would be a little bizarre for me to talk to the Shaila and impact an 89 people's status in Klal Yisrael. So I recommended that maybe they should get somebody else, but in the real, see me learn to share with you with the Russian company. But just as the Mechonis, the Ramban, and the Rizbah, and 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says to speak to the Dina, and the post came right, we're not really sure what the Dina is. So I don't know that that's the best project to do, is go to Peru and be a guy or 89 people be suffering. Or maybe we'll do that as a fence maker. Everyone's suffering anyway. I don't know, I thought that maybe we could talk about something better. I have no idea what happened in the end. But anyway, back to the
anyway, no one from Peru who's there to go, came in 20 years
ago. Okay, so bottom line is, the Ramban takes on all the other issues. Takes on the Ramban, takes on the Ramban, says the whole one is out of the other guy. How did the Ramban know so for sure? He was so certain that the order doesn't matter. So the Ramban brings you a raya. He brings you a raya from the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos. The sugi was called Muberashan Gaira. Muberashan Gaira, the Gemara discusses the case of a non-Jewish woman who happens to be pregnant and she wants to come and convert. Which is great, wonderful. Muberashan Gaira, not only does she go to the mitzvah, does she become Jewish, but no one sucks tvila, that her child doesn't require a tvila either. That the tvila that the mother underwent, that's going to suffice for the child. That's kind of reasonable. Bereshit is by guy who has learned to. So that deal is agreed upon by everybody. That's a state of revelation. Everybody's master to that. The only thing the Gemara is not sure about is what's the longest of that. Why should that be so? So the Gemara itself presents two different ways of understanding the din. And the din is not negotiable. But the reason for the din is very, very potentially negotiable. This touches on an age-old question as to what the relationship between a fetus and Uber and its mother is. Oh, we learned sugya. The Kama comes up a little bit, comes up in the Gemara, probably a little bit closer with the Kama. But the Gemara talks about Uber Yerechimo, Uber Lav Yerechimo. Do we view an Uber, the view of a fetus, as basically just an extension of the mother? It's like the mother has three legs right now, but it's basically part of the Gufa Ein. But do we say no? That the baby is developing inside the mother, but it's a separate, independent individual. And very, very complicated subjects, and Sanhedrin, and Babakam, and Chul, and Tzmura, that all revolve around this wonder Shishayla, but Uba Yerechima, Uba Lav Yerechima. Tosfos quotes two opinions of the Rishayim, 2 days in my Tosfos, had a popular on the Shishayla. Again, Shishaylas are complex and complicated. But Tosfos says, at the end of the day, we're not even sure what the answer to this question is, but Uba Yerechima, Uba Lav Yerechima. Those who live in New Jersey, so will appreciate this more. Those who don't live in New Jersey can also appreciate it. So if you live in New Jersey, will appreciate it even more. So when you drive over the bridge, or you go on any other Hudson crossing, you get a car full discount. That's going to end soon, by the way, just in case you don't do this. So I'm not sure this is back to my door today. But there's a car full discount. You pay less, and you can go in a special lane. If you have a car, you have 3 people in the car. So my situation, I kid you not, that there was a couple that was in their car, and they were driving in the carpool lane, and they were pulled over, and the cops said they were going to need a ticket because they only have 2 people in the car. And a woman pointed to her, I'm looking at that I'm pregnant, and I had a third one inside. And the cops looked at it, it was ridiculous. And the husband's arguing, well, yes, he's obviously not going to be a ticket. They went to court, and they lost. That the judge held like that day in Texas that Uber is believe it or not, something even more creative than that happens. There's more fascinating than that happened. And I can show you not that long ago. What people do to avoid paying $10 extra for each other. There was a couple that was on the way to the hospital over the bridge, and she told the husband they were halfway over the span of the bridge that she better stop and pull over the bridge because she's having a baby right now. Apparently the baby was born on the bridge. And there was a machlokes whether what's the machayev of the extra $10 bridge? Is it the filters or the soakers? Now, maybe you have a baby on the bridge. These things, this is what, if you have a job in a 4 week traffic course, this is what you do all day. Back to that story. So the Gemara of the Shaila was Uber Yerachimo and Uber Lav Yerachimo.
You know, it's late night. It's interesting to share late night, but I'm so tired, I don't even manage to show what I'm talking about. That's the point. I can share 9 o'clock. I'm a little more reserved, but I'm paying more attention to what I'm saying. Okay. So, Rabbi Sai, we have a Shaila and Yishayim with Ubi Yerachimai, with Ubi Lav Yerachimai. The Kabbalah Gemara says that Shaila impacts very much on why the version of Gad Nar starts to be done. The din is agreed upon everybody, but Lamai says the wonders why this should be so is a tremendous opportunity. Then you hold Uber Yerach Imo and Toshim. The reason why the Gairus is Chal is because it fought the mother's body. So let's say Lamashal, a person has to be really have 3 legs. So when you go to them, it's all 3 legs. It becomes the whole body. It becomes Tadish Pagushis Tisro. So right now she has a 3rd leg, Uber Yerach Imo, Pshudukimashmal. So she has a lot like a 3rd leg, so that 3rd leg becomes Jewish, so it's part of the mother's genes. What if you do Ubalav Yerachimo? Then we have a serious problem. You do Ubalav Yerachimo, so the baby is not really part of the mother, so where's the gerus of the mother? Where's the gerus of the Uba? Where's the gerus of the baby? Why does the fetus become Jewish? Based on what halacha does the baby become Jewish if you hold that Uba is Lav Yerachimo? So the question is, no, it's still going to work. You know why? For a totally different reason. It's going to work because the fetus is also under the water. If you think about it, the mother goes under the water, and the fetus goes under the water. Under the water level, the fetus is underneath the water, so the fetus was puzzled. The Gemara has a little bit of a problem, you can imagine, but this sounds like a little bit of a problem for Chatzitza. You know, we know also here, if a woman has a half to drop the nail polish on to go bananas. Yeah, the whole baby is surrounded by the mother. So what kind of lack of Chatzitza is that? Well, yeah, it's not a Chatzitza. You know what's not a Chatzitza? Haimi Rebisayu. That's the normal way things grow. Chatzitza means when you're superimposed, you put a bandage on, you put contact lenses on, you have stitches. Now, those are potential chatzitza issues. Here, this is exactly what the greater runs from the face of the world. And how do you reconcile? The babies grow inside their mothers. So since that's the natural course of things, that's how he did it, not called the chatzitza. It's a fascinating Gemara. It has been forced, believe it or not, it's not that it was filling. The Mishnah quotes that Gemara, it was filling, but he talks about, it's not like it's a Rishayna, but it is a problem of chatzitza. For on tefillin, they first put tefillin on over a bed, they first put tefillin on something over the head, etc. Over a yarmulke, would that be a tefillin? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that one discussed. How can you put tefillin on your hair? Why isn't your hair a chatzitza? So that's what very much that shot. So Mishnah Berurah says that's not a chatzitza. Why is that a chatzitza? Because kind of revisited. Because that's natural. That's normal. The hair is growing in a normal fashion, so that's not considered a chatzitza. Mamish quotes verbatim. That Gemara Masechet Yevamos. So then, some Acharonim say, "Oh, but mad about Mamurim when it's growing natural. But if a guy tops it around, playing all kind of games, and all kind of straight hair, dude, it's not so hard to reconcile anymore. Okay, that's the Rishkim and the Yeshivas and stuff. But it's based on that Gemara. How do you reconcile? So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says the bottom line is that the Tefillah works for the baby. No matter how you slice it, if you hold over your chemo, then it's partial. If you hold over Lav chemo, then it's not as partial. But you have to just touch up a little bit the chatzitza issues, but the bottom line is, it's because the baby is underneath the water, and we're not worried about chatzitza, technical reasons, and therefore the tefillah is good to go. So no matter how you slice it, that is within, the child is considered a Jewish. Just parenthetically, I was once giving a shiur about this sugya, and somebody raised their hand, and they thought they asked me a question about this other pshat of the Gemara, about, it's not really over your chemo, it's the baby's under the water, and the tefillah of the water basically is immersing and surrounding the baby. So the person, it was a real lumdish mistaken question. They asked me to follow the lumdish shadow. What they thought I was saying was that it didn't help with mikvahs. If you have a kosher mikvah and a posel mikvah, and they're touching, the waters are touching one another, so sometimes the posel mikvah is called chibur mikvahs. It will become kosher based on it touching to the kosher mikvah. So this person somehow, I don't know how they got this out of the Mashiach, but they thought that I was saying was, is that the baby surrounded by water, the amniotic fluid, which is the puzzle, we've got 40 stars. The puzzle is water, and that water is the chumah to the Neha Mitzvah. It took me 10 minutes to understand what the kasha was, which point I responded to my grandiose knowledge of Patrick. So I told him that, in the theory of deity, that if that swab between the amniotic fluid and the Neha Mitzvah is open in the Wisdari, she belongs in the hospital, not in the hospital. That's not the Gemara. The Gemara that was, she's under the water, and it's not a tea, so that's the Gemara really. So bottom line is the Tefillah is going to work either way. Either over Yerachim or over Lav Yerachim. So come to Ramban now with a starting statement. Come to Ramban and says that when this pregnant woman goes to the mikvah with the baby inside, at what point in time exactly the time of the timeline, when does this child become Jewish? When exactly does this kid become Jewish? So says the Ramban, the Rashi himself explains the Ramban, but says, basically says the Ramban, if you hold that over Yerech Imo, when does this child become Jewish? At the time that his mom becomes Jewish, because after all, he's part of her. So when she goes into the water, comes out of water, she's Jewish, Malibu, so he's Jewish also. But what if you hold Uber Lav Yerech Imo? If you hold that Uber is Lav Yerech Imo, then it gets very, very tricky. Uber Lav Yerech Imo means he's not really part of his mother's Geirus. It was a separate, independent tefila that was done to this fetus, done to this Uber. So great, wonderful. This Uber had a tefila. That's beautiful. But Eino Geirus, you go Yisrael. So when is this kid going to finish his Geirus? When he's born and he has a bris mila, that bris mila is going to be a mila l'shem Geirus, and that's going to complete the job. That's going to be the guy of the kid. It says there are so the sequence is out of whack because you just did the tefila before you did the mila. And you do the tefila before the mila, hey, wait a second, that's Shalom Kisidron. What do you see from here, says the Ramban? That's the Seder, not so important. The Seder doesn't really matter. That the Rashba's reason for the Seder is not correct. There is a false reason for the Seder is not correct. None of the reasons are correct. That the Seder is not ma'akid. Okay, if you hold over here, Yerachimo, there's no riot at all. Because the Geirus is Nishlema at the time of the tefila of mother. But if you hold that with the Lav Yerachimo, it represents one very real possibility. The Geirus isn't completed until afterwards. At that point, the Mila is already way, 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 way after the Tefillah.
When
you do the Mila? Oh, that's a million-dollar question. According to this Ramban, when would you do the Mila? So the Chayyim take the bench. If you hold it over here, Emo, and the Geirus is completed in utero, so then this kid is born as a Jew, so he's Chayyim in Milas Yisrael. Milas Yisrael is the Jew of Hashmini, and the Hashmini is the Shabbat, all the regular rules and regulations of the Milas Yisrael. But if you hold it the other day in the Gemara, that Uber Lav Yerachimo, and basically the Geirus wasn't Nishlema yet, you need to complete the Geirus with the Mila, then it's a different kind of Mila. It's a Mila's Geirus, not a Mila's Yisrael. A Mila's Geirus does not require Yom HaShemini, going to most Yisrael, it can be done right away on the spot. It's not Bechah Shabbat, because there's no special unique dinner Yom HaShemini, and the Bracha is different. The Bracha is almost like Geirus. The Bracha is not Ala Mila. So, this is going to be a major enough community with dinner. Now, since we don't know what the din is, Tosfos wasn't Machoria, whether Uber Yerachim or Lav Yerachim, we're not sure what the din is, we're in a pickle. When you have this kind of a shah, which happens not so uncommon, you have these kinds of cases, it is unclear in the postgame, is this the Milus Yisrael or the Milus Geirus, depending on those two reasons that the Ramban is suggesting.
If he says that the baby is not part of the mother,
is
during the Geirus, what if she gives birth to a girl?
Oh, if she gives birth to a girl, of course, everybody in the Geirus will take place right away, because a girl only needs tefila. So in the lower shot, the girl's gave will be done immediately. It's the boy's gave that's done.
What if we hold that she's not being compared with her mother?
What if she hold the lobby or female? So then there are two gave in taking place there. The two separate different gave so that if you knew that, the topic about when you have a Mubarak and a Gaira, must the baby know that she's pregnant? But she's very early, she doesn't even know she's pregnant. Must the baby know she's pregnant? So the baby who's up, says that the big Shiloh, and it's totally a lot of lumdus, and he doesn't tell what belongs to. It's one line in the double above, and it's 5 years in, and the Geirus doesn't tell what belongs to. So the Chorim, we can plug in the lumdus ourselves. If you hold it, with a Geirus Imo, what is the base of the temple? Now he's innocent. Let's say this woman has a third line, the base didn't know it. So Geirus is still called the third line, because it's only one Maitre Geirus going on. But if you hold it, with a lot of Geirus Imo, then there are two distinct Maitre Geirus going on. So that will be dependent upon, must Basin be aware that they're being a guy or a person or not. Is it shy to have a Basin supervising a Geirus without even realizing that they're supervising a Geirus? There's a place in the government to talk about that shy. That's what the Basin would probably have. Okay? Yeah.
Yesterday, the father from Mira, like two of his brothers died in a circumcision unrelated beforehand. So how is he in his career if we hold that?
Well, the question is, let's say you have a regular non-Jew, it's a problem because there's a medical reason that the doctor says not allowed to have a visa. So what do you do? If this was a shah in Europe, a very real shah, the rule of the person says that it's Kim Megaya. There's no mechanism to be Megaya. Because a Milas Yisrael is ultimately a mitzvah. There's no chalois in Milas Yisrael, really. There's a lot of players, but bottom line is the Jewish whether you have a Mila or not. So it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of the government by the rules. The Bechai Abraham, but he can't do it. It's a mitzvah. He can't do it. He can't finish it. The world goes on. But when it comes to a Mila Geirus, there's a chalais that's taking place. I can't do the chalais. So what do you want? Let's say, Lamar, you have a woman who she can't have kiddushin. If she has kesef sabi, she's given dog. So she can't get out. So that's the one. That's the bottom line. You can't create the chalais kiddushin. You can't create the chalais geirus. That's the root of the bug.
in Europe.
Is that what's happening today?
Yeah, I mean, today it's never going to happen, because today, even when you have people who are make stuff about the needles, there are other ways that the needles would run without letting blood. There are medical advances now. We very rarely have a case where LGBT didn't exist anymore. The person who had a needle was there.
So if you were passing that the Uber needs Mila Garrett and a Garrett, I mean, you do it the day, like the day he's born, would you then need a Tafadami's trial on the day also? Or would that mean...
No, because he's like a regular Garrett. A Garrett just has Garrett. You're a Garrett, that's it.
Even though he's an 8-day-old Jew.
No, it doesn't matter. No. Let's say you have a... No, wait a minute. Let's say you have a guy or a Garrett cousin on the day that he's born. So you just do a meal on the day he's born. So the Nuscha Brach begins with almost the game of Hashem Dumbris. That is the Dumbris.
The deal that Boomer's love, you know, the other thing is...
Oh, very good, excellent. So the lady folks can start tippling about that. Is it shy to have such a case? This is not so far-fetched. In today's world, this is not a lot of crazy things going on in today's world. So it's not so crazy to have a situation of one without the other. You don't have Uber Yerachim, you don't have the mechanics to have that. But Uber Yerachim, maybe it would work. Maybe. Maybe it's possible.
Can you
force Gator
onto a baby?
Can
you
understand?
You're able to force Gator.
Oh, very good. You asked another question. You're asking that if it's a din of a, if it's Uber Yerachim, also it's common father, mother, another child. But it's Uber Lav Yerachim, then you have to come up to Ksuba Tabiral, that it's Gerkotan, based on the parashah of Gerkotan. So the same as Gerkotan works. That's what you have to move him right, that if you hold Uber Lav Yerachim, then you would have to deal with some Mimchot. The same way that a Gerkotan has the ability to undo the gayer when it reaches 13, this Uber would also have. So they have a blue and bright the halacha that it's not sure what the din is, because if you hold Uber Yerachim, then clearly the kid cannot be Mecha. If you only if you hold that Uber Lav Yerachim, the kid could be Mecha. I told you, there are a lot of afternoon between these 2 days going on.
Where does the assumption come that the baby in Euro is considered to be Jewish?
Was
like, what's the...
Okay. Hold on, we're trying to look at those. Revamp that statement a minute, okay? So again, so we have the Ramban's right. But all the rights, I'll be very perky with you right. So comes the Ra'ah, the Talmidim of the Ramban, and the Ra'ah says, no, he doesn't think that it's a right. Says that when you have this child, this baby, in utero, he's Dino Kinikeva. It doesn't matter what his DNA is, that's what his chromosomes are. Halakhically, he's Dino Kinikeva. What does it mean, Dino Kinikeva? So we shed him right. Let's say you have a regular non-Jew who wants to come convert, and he's a male, but Nebuchadnezzar, he doesn't have that kid. That kid was removed surgically. He doesn't have it anymore. He doesn't have a kid anymore. So how in the world do you even need a guy? So if he can't do, there's no oral stake off, and there's no top of subgrist, what are you going to do? So most of the Rishayim is so he's being a kid of Kiva, which means the only time you need a Mila, Gaira, is when you have the ability to do Mila's Gaira. But if it's impossible to do it, and here's what most of the folks can say, when you can do it just for medical reasons, Kiva, that's still called possible. That's the chat that they're going to talk about. But if it's mamish nichot agid, so it's close to the Yavamas, for most of the Rishayim assume that would be okay. So comes there and says, when you have a baby in utero, even though he may be called the Shemaya Zachar, but I can't do anything about it. Right now, he's not able to cast out a Mila. So since it's impossible to do a Mila on him now, the Mela is Dino Kedekeva. If it's Dino Kedekeva, then his game is for sure completed at the Shas Tevila. It doesn't matter what you hold about Uba Yerachimo. Even if you hold Uba Lav Yerachimo, so the game is complete right then. Then when he's born, what kind of a Mila do we need? I mean, let's just roll on the Yom HaShvi, the Shabbos, let's just over the Brach, etc. So the Ra'ah is arguing with the Ramban and saying that even though it's not, Ruba Lavi Yashimo, it's not, he's not doing his offer. He's doing it in a cave. That would be a fascinating shayla. Again, I can't begin to think around the case, but that's the time of that. The Ra'ah was working with the assumption that it is impossible physically to do a bris on a child's uterus. I don't know if that's true anymore. There are surgical procedures that I'm not saying anyone's going to go run to do this. I'm not saying run over practicing this too much of that. But I'm not sure, again, I don't know enough about the topic, that it's impossible to do a bris before the baby's actually born. I didn't say that. I don't know what the medical part of that story is.
Is there a point about having a tumultiva that in the fact that you can't do a bris, or that before the baby's born, it doesn't have an assigned gender to
Not exactly, because the Gemara does talk about it having a five gender. Just not sure what that gender is. The Gemara has figures in the Yavamas about if you have the older kid to the Uber, so the Uber is a male, and the father knows only if I'm going to assume it. So the Gemara does talk about that possibility of it exists, we just don't know what that gender is.
What's
to
say that an Uber
is
in a fire theater?
That's the multi million dollar question. I mean, he's Jewish because
he's
such a rabbi. Yes, Dr. Zoy. So come. Well, the later Achareim would say, wait a second, hold the phone, this whole studio is a talent. It's going to be absolutely. The Gemara has a whole tipple about how are we going to dray a truck to get a gayrus in on this Uber. It says, Azoy is in a box. Everyone has one to stay up this topic. Stop, hold the phone. Come get Chavarim Tim and Tim. Why does this child need a gayrus altogether? Mishnah says in Kedushin, if you have a Jewish mother, you're Jewish. That is the definition of being Jewish, if you are born to a Jewish mother. This child is born to a Jewish mother, because the mother converted before she gave birth to the child. So why isn't the child just Jewish just based on that alone? Why is the Gemara tippling and draying and figuring out an eighth to have a being a guy of the child? And hey, thanks, you have to be a guy of the child. The child is just born to a Jewish mother.
I didn't know
if it
was
going
to be born Jewish.
So look, Ora, the pashtas advarim is that the answer to that dilemma is that this child may have been born to a Jewish mother, but he was conceived by a non-Jewish mother. To say person, physically, but logically, she's a different person. When she conceived him, so she was not Jewish. And now she's giving birth to him, she's Jewish, because she was the Diana sitting in her own. So look, Ora, you see from the pashtas in this sugya that when the Mishnah speaks about having a Jewish mother, Jewish mother is defined by who the mother for conception is. The mother of birth is not as critical. That's what the Gemara seems to be saying. That's the simple pshat in the Gemara. Now, a lot of Acharonim didn't assume that. A lot of Acharonim say, no, the Gemara didn't really mean that. There's the two dinim of mother, two dinim of Kedushin. So there's a lot of Torahs not for now. Those are interfered. But Bartoli has in his Kedushin, something has Avraham has. No, the Acharonim took a lot in the Gemara. But the simple pshat in the Gemara is that in Achinami, that our assumption that birth mother is so critical is probably not true. Yeah, well, that's exactly what it means, right. Okay. So back in the days of Rabbi Nachtoli, Rabbi Nachtoli was even Rabin before the war, and there's Avraham was in Kovda before the war. There's a lot of lumbas, and everyone was talking about this Gemara, and what does this Gemara tell you? But at the end of the day, I didn't know that Rashi was Maisa, because there was only one way until 40 years ago to have a different conception mother than a birth mother, and that was a pidin to a guy in the middle. That was about all there was. So, and the Gemara says it's going to work anyway, but it'll be years and a lot of years, so it's not going to be much of a difference. But all of a sudden, now the world is very, very different. You have situations where it's very, very easy. You can have a scenario where you have one person is providing the egg, another person is carrying the child, giving birth to the child. So who determines the Jewishness of this child? Do you follow the conception? Do you follow the birth? So again, if you go down to simple shot in the Gemara, the Rambam says here that it's the conception that's critical. Again, not everybody reads the Gemara this way, they're going to question it, this was not Lamaisa, I'm not talking Lamaisa, this is a very, very complicated Shaila, and there are different Bilei Tosfos in today's world of different opinions about this, but one of the major manuscripts, there are very, very few real discoveries in the Gemara for this discussion, this is probably the most critical, most basic discussion, basic for Maram, to potentially pass the Shaila. Well, the question is, what do you mean by conception? Does conception mean when the egg becomes fertilized? So, fertilizing the layer. So that's the someone says, the layer is the mother. That's a hard, very hard concept to exist. So it most probably means that the egg that was fertilized is the thing that matters. So, okay, I can hear a... So that's also a very, very tricky question. What exactly, if anything, is the status of those first couple of, cell divisions? Is that anything? Is that nothing up the aloha? We must speak about 40 days of Mayan Ba'alma. Does that fit into the Tara? Does that apply to these kinds of things also? That gets very, very late. So Chodin talks about this. He has a piece about when the Zinu Rufi Yafim Malavi will change before 40 days, after 40 days. Also, not sure. There's a lot of nothing here about this.
So does it become a problem for a Jewish couple to use a non-Jewish surrogate mother based on conception?
Again, this is all part of this whole discussion. This is all. This is a very, very complicated story. I got to come back next year, maybe, because to talk about this. But I just want to just wait you out a little bit, that some of the discussion is going to emanate from this. You know, a lot of the discussion is really focusing today emanates from this particular book.
If the fetus couldn't stay there, does that mean it's considered a person before it's born?
So that's always a tricky question about what does that mean, a person. You know, there is seems to be a Machlokes Rashi and Rambam in terms of the Sicha, whether abortion is specifically tantamount to a Sicha. And that's the simple meaning of the Rambam is yes, and the meaning of Rashi is no. I emphasize simple because there are some people who often explain that Rashi didn't say what he said, and some people didn't say what he said. But if you just put that aside, this is the Tosh Rashi, you're sure it appears that's Machlokes Rashi, and Rashi is saying it's the Rambam is just there. So it depends what you mean by Gavi, you know, being a person. The Shach quotes from the Sefer Rekeach that says that the Issa to the
they're not allowed to cause a kachem through an aveira, which if the kachem assumes that applied even before the baby's actually born. That's what it's for kachem, right? You have that idea of the male-female. It's for kachem, raises the question, if you have an Ashish Cohen who's pregnant, is she allowed to go to a cemetery? Is she allowed to go to Olam Hazeh? Because maybe by definition she's causing her unborn fetus to become something. The only thing is that unborn fetus is a 50-50 chance. You don't know what it is. So the calf was only going to be marked because he had a fixed face. So maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl, and it's a boy, maybe it'll be a male. Maybe he won't even survive because mom's taking nothing. So that was the only reason why the calf was going to be male. Others want to know, why was there a problem with the first one? Who says that he even exists? Who says this baby is even was there any syrup before his birth? That's a very fascinating answer. Maybe another one will come back to us about all these shahs that emanate from the things we're talking about. That's a big, big shahs of whether that tool applies or not there. Because there's a whole discussion in your day, and the holy fake speaker is extra mavara. We have a fake speaker that's easy to be mavara. So in the olden days, it was impossible to be mavara. This is not a death. It's very, very easy. But so it's not a good. We'll find out in a minute whether it's a boy or a girl. So I've had the shahs many, many times. A woman will call and say, I have to go to the seminary or the funeral. I'm going to ask you, I don't know yet what I'm carrying. She goes in now before the funeral, so it's going to be the at that point. But if it's Epshel Avara, then she has to go, maybe she has to go run to get a sonogram to see what it is in order to revive. She wants to go to Olam Hazeh. That wasn't the Sakha Wah, it was just a positive, major, major discussion. Yeah.
Is there a Shaila if you say that the Nagiris is completed after the birth? The relation between the mother and the son halakhically?
Right, that's the whole story. So one of the riyas to this whole discussion between the man and the Rashi, one of the big kashas that all the experiments have against the Ramban is that the simple reading of the Gemara, the end of the sentence of the Gemara, is that this child is related to the mother, which makes us believe that the gayer is somehow finished beforehand. If the gayer is something that takes place afterwards, that would be should be subject to the Geshe's attack on Shinoda's army. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that doesn't sound that way. One of the Gemara has a discussion also in the sentence of the Chayrus about if he has a reversion of his gayra, whether the boy needs a pigeon of Ben. So the Gemara sounds like the Gemara says the child does need a pigeon of Ben. According to the Ramban, the child was born not Jewish. Whoever heard such a wild thing, the kid's born not Jewish, then it's your birthday, it's a big event, that's not true. So, yes, they heard a book with this to Ramban, try to figure out what exactly Ramban meant. Anyway, back to our story. So the bottom line is, the answer to the question the guys have proven is that we're not sure what the answer is. That's the bottom line. We have three different approaches in the Rishon. We have some Rishon who are vehemently opposed to switching the order because of the issue of Tavish of the other, that was the majority of them. You have the Rashi who was opposed to switching the order because he felt that the Tavir Rashi is my day. So the Ramban didn't accept either one of those two concerns, and therefore thought it was basically okay to switch the order. And the Ramban thought he had a Raya from the Sugi Mubarash and the Ira, but we just had to touch up the Raya a little bit. The Raya only fits according to one side of the Gemara, and then the Ra'a wanted to argue that even according to that standing, it's not necessarily a Raya, because maybe this child is not a Vedic Kazakh, it's a Vedic Kazakh, the whole Raya doesn't even get off the ground. And then we also pointed out that Agat is very, very important. That Agat, the Dr. Maran Yivamas, no matter how you slice it, seems to be the Tash is pointing in the direction that the child is not Jewish just by birth alone. There's something else maybe the picture to the term of Jewish. So again, just the Russian talking a little bit of some very, very important studies to hang along, potentially very, very real modern day practical Muslim mice applications that all start in the studio of the city of Bilal Cuba. Sure, got a lot of Aswaha, keep on stacking away, and everyone just continues to go with Kyle and Kyle, both in Turin, and Shemai, and Hashem. And if you have the problems with Wayim, so you come and say hello, and we're going to be able to grow here in Turin, and Shemai, and Hashem. That's good, that's part of the job. Everyone should tell me, send me on a raw rod, and we're going to be able to do it.